Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Well, top of the morning to you. It's a, not a lovely Sunday morning. It's a little cloudy. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started, just a quick announcement. The dance festival is coming up. And there is a peace exchange event coming up on the 29th. I guess that's next Saturday. And that will be from 4:30 to 7:30. It's up in Alta Laguna. Tickets are $30 at the door, or you can go to the peaceexchange.com website for more information. And I think it's going to be a great event, and it's for a really good cause. So that's that. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and we'll be right back to get the show started in a bit.
So they tell me, hold him while you can. And he showed me how it is to know a man, and it all seems right when we talk through the was a time when I was alone, nowhere to go and no place to call home. My only friend was the man in the moon, and even sometimes he would go away too. Then one night as I closed my eyes, I saw a shadow flying high. He came to me with the sweetest smile, told me he wanted to talk for a while. He said, Peter Pan, that's what they call me. I promise that you'll never be lonely. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. He sprinkled me in pixie dust and told me to believe, believe in him and believe in me. Together we will fly away in a cloud of green to your beautiful destiny. As we soared above the town that never loved me, I realized I finally had a family. Soon enough we reached Neverland. Peacefully my feet hit the sand, and ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. And for always I will sing, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I am delighted to have in studio Jody Gates of the Laguna Beach Dance Festival. Hi there.
Hi, Ernest. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's really the pleasure is all mine, and I have been waiting for this moment for quite some time. I've been trying to get you on or trying to get connected to you so I could get you on. So I guess we should tell people who you are, because I know, because I've gone to the dance festival that you're doing and all of that. And so I've heard the story, but why don't we start from when you were little? What was it about dance that attracted you?
Sure enough, this is going to take a long time to talk about.
Well,
you know,
in the third grade.
Exactly. Well, to capsulize my career, I don't remember a time without dance.
Really?
No. And honestly, I think at the age of 3, 4, and 5, I would dance around to music.
Okay.
Yeah, and my parents put me in dance primarily because obviously I was dancing everywhere. And they thought, well, maybe she should go into a dance class.
Right, you'll focus at this interview.
Yeah, so.
Now, were they artistic?
No, not at all. No, my father was an entrepreneur and my mother an executive secretary.
Oh, yeah, and, so that's as far away from, mm-hmm. I mean, that's practical.
Mm-hmm. And my sister was a dancer and ended up being a professional ballet dancer as well,
really?
Which is,
okay.
I think she was very much an inspiration to me. I saw my older sister in a tutu, and of course, like any young girl, I wanted to wear that tiara. So,
right.
And, you know, I was very fortunate to have a family, though they didn't have the knowledge base of dance,
right.
You know, make sure that I get to my ballet class every evening after grade school.
And they must have had some appreciation for the arts to want to foster that in you and support you.
Absolutely. My grandfather would take me there to ballet class and make sure that I was surrounded by good mentors. My mother, of course, would buy me the ballet slippers and then eventually the point shoes.
Okay. And so, you know, a lot of little girls start out dancing and they go to the dance classes and then, you know, other things come up. But you just kept going.
Sure. So it was about the age of 12 that I knew that was my passion. And my mother had actually put me in, not unlike other young ladies and young men, ice skating, gymnastics, piano, violin, and ballet.
Right. We're going to find something that you can do.
Exactly. Well, ice skating, it was cold. Gymnastics, I was afraid of heights on the balance beam.
Okay.
Violin, it was not my talent. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's interesting, though, that, you know, most of the time when you see those people up on the stage, you just assume that they're just, you know, great at everything.
Well, now I am. No. and actually, piano I did have a gift for, but violin is very specific. And I think for me, it was about the motion of moving my body to the music and using my body as the instrument and not the violin or the keyboard.
And so you discovered that and so then said, when did you decide that this was what you wanted to do for your life? I mean,
12 years old. Absolutely. At 12, I was always a tenacious young woman, persistent, focused, goal-orientated. If you know me, that hasn't changed.
Right. They're like, yeah, ding.
There's so much joy in, one is the endurance it takes to try to perfect dance. You know, you have to take classes every day. You need to rehearse. There's a joy in that and fulfilling the kind of work that you do artistically and athletically.
To become athletic enough to do some of that stuff out on the stage in the middle of, you know, a music piece where you can't do it over.
Absolutely. And it defines you. When you say, and I still say, I am a dancer.
Wow.
And what
well,
that
yeah, you,
and
well,
I'm proud of being a dancer because
stand
it,
a little
what
taller.
Does it mean? Yeah. And what does it mean? It means you're highly focused, you are goal oriented, you are persistent, you are probably a perfectionist.
Okay.
You are generous, you are empathetic, you are community minded.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those attributes carry over and are transferable skills in what I do today.
Well, I believe you forgot one. You can rock a tiara.
Oh, that's right. And I had
that's
a couple tutus.
Not everybody can do that.
I have to say, I do miss performing in that sense. I retired at the age of 40, so I had a very long career, and I only retired because I was done. I had done everything.
But we skipped the everything. The done part. So what did you do? So you at 12 you decide I'm a dancer. That's all I want to do. And you know.
So fortunately, I was bright with my academics in high school. So I knew I needed to fast tracks. I wanted, at that time, there wasn't such a thing as the USC Gloria Kaufman School of Dance where you could continue your training and also pursue academics. Back then, in the 70s and 80s, you either go to New York and become a professional dancer or you go to college.
So you really just, you get out there or stay home.
So I trained in Sacramento, California.
Okay.
And at the age of 15, I was performing on a local stage with other young, talented ballet dancers. And a man by the name of Robert Joffrey was in the audience. And he ran the Joffrey Ballet and founded the Joffrey Ballet in the 60s, of course.
Wow.
And he offered me a full scholarship. Huh. And at the age of 15, my mother didn't want me to go to the Joffrey Ballet all academic year, but said I could go for the summer.
Okay.
When I'm 16.
Okay. Right.
So a year later, it still stood, and I went on full scholarship at the age of 16. And 3 weeks into the summer workshop, they offered me a contract with the apprentice company of the Joffrey Ballet.
Really?
So wow. At the age of 16, I moved to New York City and became a member of the Joffrey Ballet.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I finished high school by correspondence because I had been fast-tracking.
Right.
And also back then, they didn't have long-distance learning.
Right.
My high school actually made an exception because they knew what I was doing, and they created
and
the first.
Focused you were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, mm-hmm. We just need her to send her the stuff. It'll.
And what was really interesting, and a kind of a wonderful side note, is that when I joined the Joffrey Ballet, I was an apprentice, and that same time I was in the company was Ronald Reagan Jr. He was my dance partner.
Huh.
So my first experience outside of Sacramento, California, was with Secret Service men traveling to China and Hong Kong and Italy with Secret Service, Ron Reagan Jr., meeting the president and the wife. And that was my very first experience touring.
Heavens. Yeah. Wow. So you just got thrown into the deep water.
And I survived.
And you survived.
Yes.
And so what was it like, you know, moving away from your family and being, you know, I guess a professional dancer at that point?
Looking back at it, I was probably not mature enough to leave my family. However, at the time, it was all about dance. I was completely focused.
<See ya.
laughs> Exactly. There was nothing I felt I was missing. I knew that this was my path. This was my journey.
And you weren't homesick or cry at night or anything like that?
I was homesick. I missed the support, but I had wonderful mentors that were directing the Joffrey Ballet along with Robert Joffrey.
Okay. And what are the people of dance like at that level? I mean, as a personally, how did they treat you? You know, you're a hot shot coming in and...
I was treated with respect and as a mature dancer. So I had to learn how to act in rehearsal and in performance and what does that take at a certain level. But I had good experience in Sacramento with my regional dance company there. I was prepared for what does it mean to be a performing artist and how to deliver at a really high standard.
Right. So you're not fumbling around or anything. Mm-hmm. You're you know, when they call you, you do your thing.
And... Exactly. But, you know, I also, there was a lot of expectation. And I think that for me, I had performance anxiety. And
really?
I got very, because I'm a perfectionist.
Oh,
never perfect ballet. It is an art form that you can work on until you are in your grave and thereafter. Because it is such a delicate yet incredibly strong and articulate form that it requires every sense of being.
And it's an artistic expression. It's not just a cheerleading routine or something like that that you can really kind of nail and you just do it over and over.
Absolutely. And the other wonderful attribute about dance is there is a sense of community like no other art form. It actually is comparable to being on a team sport because it takes all of your effort to make that performance a success.
And so you do the apprentice. Obviously, you excelled past that. What was it like when you were the one?
So I, at the age of 17, I was moved into the company.
Wow.
And was given...
After about 20 minutes.
I was very fortunate. I always have felt as though I'm guided by a higher force. I feel as though the universe guides me, and I'm highly intuitive. And so I really try to make the best decisions that I feel are appropriate for the time.
Right.
And when I was that age, at 17 and 18, I was given the opportunity to, I was selected to do these solos by Robert Joffrey that performed at the Kennedy Center and the Music Center and at City Center in New York City and Lincoln Center. And that catapulted my career. I was in the Joffrey Ballet for 15 years, and I danced every principal role possible, such as Juliet in Romeo and Juliet.
Right, right, right.
Juliet was a dream role of mine. I would fantasize about it when I was, gosh, like 9 years old. I used to dance in the living room for my mother and her friends as they were drinking Chablis out of a jug.
Right.
I would dance
because
the role.
The box wines weren't invented.
Exactly. It was a big jug, right? And I would dance the three-act ballet to the Prokofiev score. We're talking almost 3 hours
now. Oh, my gosh.
I was the entertainment in the living room, and I thought for sure that, you know, I was Juliet. Well, fast forward, at the age of 27, I was on stage at Lincoln Center.
So dreams do come true.
They do. They do.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. My guest this morning is Jody Gates of the Laguna Beach Dance Festival.
Everything. Oh, sweet thing.
well. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and I'm having the most wonderful time with Jody Gates of the Laguna Beach Dance Festival. So, you know, we in the first segment, we really talked a lot about your desire to be a dancer and your kind of career path. But along the way, between, let's see, dancing Romeo and dancing the part of Juliet for your mom and her friends for 3 hours while they drink wine, to being the actual lead ballerina in a company, in a major company, you must have had to do some development. So how did that, I know you took a lot of classes and stuff, but what does it take to get from the living room to the big stage?
Great question.
Didn't know if I was going to be able to get that.
You know, it's one is to have very good teachers and mentors through that process and that path. And I did. I was very, very fortunate to have good training, a good upbringing. And also, sometimes it's a stroke of luck, quite frankly, because as I said earlier,
right.
Robert Joffrey was in the audience and he saw me and plucked me out of a very small town and said, you need to come to New York because I think that you have the talent to become a star.
Huh.
And in addition to that, he saw that I was a very good educator or an advocate and an ambassador for the Joffrey Ballet. Even at a young age, upon joining the company, he would send me out to teach the master classes and to again, already scout for young talent like myself.
Wow. Okay.
So that was somewhat ingrained in an inherent quality that I believe he saw in me.
Right. And I guess that's something more than just the talent to be a dancer, but someone who can learn the business, can you know, help perpetuate it.
Absolutely. And I believe that in my case, I had a very special dramatic quality on stage and a sort of an insane sense of musicality. And when I teach today, for example, and students ask me, you know, what's the difference between being a good and great dancer? And I truly believe it's the intention of one's approach to the movement as well as musicality. Yes, there's so many talented and physically talented students out there.
Right.
But to have it all takes a fine-tuning and also a sense of freedom.
So in football, they say you can't teach speed, but can you teach musicality?
That's a great question. I think that some individuals simply are born with it.
Okay.
And the footwork, you can teach.
Okay.
But the musicality and the approach to a role.
I guess the resonating, mm-hmm. the music resonates through some people.
Right. And, you know, what made Aretha Franklin great, for example, you know, bless her soul, that voice, but also the delivery of the voice and the way she would, the dynamics and how the rise and fall and the soulfulness.
Right.
That's what makes someone special. And it's the same as a dancer.
Okay. And so you did that for Joffrey, mm-hmm. but you're now doing that for USC.
Exactly.
Tell me the story of USC, because they weren't traditionally a dance school, were they?
No. From the Joffrey, I moved to Philadelphia, became a principal ballerina with the Pennsylvania Ballet, and then I moved to Europe and danced in Germany for 5 years and became a principal ballerina with the Frankfurt Ballet.
Hmm.
I came back to America to what I thought I was going to perhaps be a choreographer. I still create my own work and perhaps even direct a dance company. And when I moved back to Southern California, I decided to move to Laguna Beach. And at that time, I retired
back
at the age
Podunk.
Of 40. You know, I had dear friends, Nancy and Mike Meyer, who are still on the board of directors of
Yay.
Laguna Dance Festival. And I moved in with Nancy for about 6 months. I needed a moment to figure out, what do I do now?
Right, because you're 40. I mean, you know, you're
exactly
elderly in the dance world.
Yeah, and I really retired because I did not want to do one more plié at the ballet bar. Not because I couldn't dance or felt injuries. I knew that I had done that part of my career.
Oh, so it ran its course.
Yeah, it ran its course. And when I moved to Laguna and I walked the streets in Laguna and saw the beautiful visual art, and I knew that there was an artistic community here, mm-hmm. there was a void and that lack was of movement, of dance. And that's why I started the Laguna Dance Festival. And my founding board members, Nancy Meyer and Christine Rhodes, helped me discover that dream and follow that journey that we have had for almost 15 years now.
Now, that was a little crazy, though. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Or did you know that it was gonna, you know, that it would be well-received and you know, that it was a missing piece?
I knew that there was a need, and there still is a dire need for the arts to be in our community. And I feel as though we're not even done. We are just scratching the surface. And to answer your pointed question about my role as vice dean and director of the University of Southern California, Gloria Kaufman School of Dance.
Just in case there's some Trojans out there.
Yeah, fight on. Yeah, yeah, and as I say, dance on.
She just glossed over that.
You know, I had received a tenured professor position at UC Irvine. For almost 10 years, I was a professor there upon moving to Southern California. And I, at that same time, I was growing the Laguna Dance Festival. Right. A woman by the name of Gloria Kaufman met me in Los Angeles at an event, and then I invited her down here to see one of our performances.
Okay.
She came to watch me teach at the university. Huh. And the next thing I know, I get a phone call from USC saying, we'd like to talk to you about leading the dance school. Gloria had just given a transformative gift to USC in 2012. They hired me as a consultant
transformative
initially.
Transformative gift.
Yeah. It was a large sum of money. Let's put it that way. And they recruited me, you know, pretty hard because I was quite content in my position at UCI and
okay.
Really and had a lovely time, and, yeah. my life. And but the opportunity to actually build and launch a program in academia from the ground up simply doesn't come around.
Yeah.
And a school of dance, we're not talking a department that lives in another program, a school of dance that has the same collateral and the meat that it takes to have the School of Medicine and law and architecture.
Standing on its own. Wow.
Standing on its own with its own budget.
Are there any others?
There are very, very few, if any, actual schools of dance that are in an endowed school of dance. And USC really had the components for all the other arts, but dance was hidden in the theater,
okay.
in the School
right,
of Dramatic
right.
Arts. So that was 2012, 2013. And in 2013, I took the role and not only designed the curriculum and hired the staff and faculty, but I also was a very important piece to designing the building, which now stands.
And so when you look at designing a curriculum, you know, for a dance school, what are some of the things that you think are important, or what did you think that were the pillars of the load-bearing structures of that kind of thing?
The philosophically, and this is how I think about all of the work I do to facilitate projects, initiatives, and the work that I do, I look to the needs of the field. What are we in need of? What is missing? That's why I started the Laguna Dance Festival. So what I did was I interviewed several individuals, not just in the nation, but globally, asking, what do we need? If we have a dance school in one of the largest cities in America that already is known for entertainment, music, yeah. and film, obviously, what can I do? How could we contribute? And what came out of that is that we are the only university dance program that is a conservatory model, meaning an intensive training ground that's embedded in a private research one institution like USC. What that means is the students have all the academic rigor that is needed as any other student, yet they're getting a dance background and dance training that rivals most any because of the highly qualified faculty.
Well, wow. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more from Jody Gates of the Laguna Beach Dance Festival, and we'll be talking a lot more about the festival this year and you know, letting you know what's going on. So this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. We'll be right back after this. Watching for a sign to lead me to wherever you are. I can't help it, I would always love you. Used to be no words could come between us. Anytime was right for secret meetings. It's different now. When you speak, every word means no. Every word means no. Okay. Ooh, excuse me. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I'm having the most wonderful time here with Jody Gates of the Laguna Beach Dance Festival. So we've talked about your childhood and your passion for dancing and discovering that that was your path. We've talked about your work with USC. And now we need to talk about now. So right now the dance festival is coming up and it is scheduled for when?
Our first evening is October 4th. Okay. Thursday evening, and it runs through the weekend.
And it's not really just performances, is it? It's a whole week of activity.
Exactly. And the nonprofit that we are, we have activities all through the year.
Okay.
So, and that's something that I think that our patrons and audience members sometimes forget, is that we contribute to the fabric of our culture here in Laguna Beach all year round with performing free in the art galleries during Art Walk.
Yes, I've seen some of
amazing. Which I think we've seen each other at that. We also perform at the Festival of Arts Grounds in the summer. And we have dance classes happening throughout the year where we bring in incredibly well-known artists to teach master classes to students across Southern California. Students come from Nevada and Arizona just to train with the individuals we bring in.
Right.
So this is a culmination in what we do all year round. And at the Playhouse, we'll be performing. We have three different performances and one backstage event. And what that means is the backstage event, we call it Backstage with Complexions Contemporary Ballet. And Complexions Contemporary Ballet was, ironically, the very first company we brought to Laguna Beach in 2005. And that was the same year we had Patrick Swayze come and visit us and advocate for us that we were important, we are important, and we continue to push that same mission that he believed in, which was dance is a part of everyone's life and should be as any other part of the arts are.
Well, I think it's amazing that you brought real dance to Laguna Beach. I mean, Laguna has a fairly strong artistic background. We have a pretty good dance department at our high school. I've gone to some of their performances. But to sit down and watch someone that normally you'd be up in the rafters.
Exactly. Well, that's what makes our festival, for one of the most important in the nation, is that you will see stars from Complexions Contemporary Ballet and Ballet West, San Francisco Ballet, National Ballet of Canada, all on a stage that is literally just feet from your nose. So, and without getting kicked, of course. But it's an intimate setting, and so you can
see them glowing.
Yeah, and you can feel their enthusiasm. You have an exchange of energy that is synergistic, and it's also very real when you have that experience. I encourage anyone that perhaps is intimidated to go to see the ballet, for example, at a larger theater, to come and witness this. And if you don't like it, then come and speak to me, because I bet everyone will find something very exciting about experiencing the energy of movement and motion to music. And by the way, Friday night, October 5th, the music is to David Bowie. It's a tribute to David Bowie. So you have one of the best contemporary dance companies in America in Laguna Beach dancing a tribute to David Bowie on Friday night, the 5th of October.
Wow. Yeah, it takes my breath away. So you do ballet, you bring ballet, but you also bring contemporary dance.
And so
how do you select?
There's a curatorial process that I very much enjoy. And I believe that it has been successful because I try to look at the various forms of dance. In fact, I wanted to bring a tap company this year, but they were booked at the Kennedy Center. So, for example, it's difficult
to... It's Laguna Beach.
Yeah,
just tell them that, you know, maybe they can pick another date.
Exactly. So, you know, it's tricky to, one, find a date that we are given by the Playhouse, and two, when these artists and companies are available for touring. And quite frankly, you know, not having our own home here in Laguna Beach is critical to our future. And I really encourage patrons and those of you out there that have not come to see a performance yet for the Laguna Dance Festival, you will leave the theater with so much pride and energy and happiness. I guarantee it. And I'm there every night, so I get to talk to you about it.
Well, you know, I will can speak from my own personal experience that, you know, I had gone to dance performances up in L.A. And you know, you get your tickets and, like I said, you're up in the rafters and you can barely, you know, make out the stage. And then there's this stuff going on. And I just didn't feel any connection to it. And, you know, it wasn't stimulating, I would say.
Right. And also, too, I think when I curate, I think about the music. For example, Friday night, you know, you are going to listen to some Bach music, which is everyone will have heard it at some point, in, even if it's on a TV commercial. And then the David Bowie tribute, which is a large part of that evening. And the next two nights where we it's a different experience. It's the Stars of Dance, and you'll see all types of dancing. One is acrobatic, dancing on a door. The other is contemporary dance, dancing to very a kind of electronic music. Then you'll also see White Swan duet from the full-length Swan Lake. So it's really an opportunity to kind of have a menu of options. You'll leave after seeing excerpts of these works, probably liking over 50% of it, if not more. I curated it so that I like 100% of it, and I'm hoping that people agree. So the Stars of Dance evening is Saturday night the 6th at 7:30, and then Sunday matinee at 2. And during that weekend, we also have master classes for our local students. Those classes are already sold out,
right,
but we have tickets left for each performance, and I truly, again, am so excited about this year's festival because it is it's our best one yet, most definitely.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, this is so many threads have weaved together, you know, with the USC thing, with your connections to the dance world, and now, you know, it sounds like you've got this synergy going where you've actually created Southern California focal point of dance.
I believe so, and I believe that we are probably one of the only dance seaside festivals on the West Coast. And, you know, we have remained sustainable, and most presenting organizations like ourselves that are smaller in as far as budget,
right,
they have all dissolved because they couldn't make it. We have made it. We have made it with a surplus.
Bravo.
And thank you so much for that. But we need continued support. And I think that we're almost there. These next couple years now, really with the message of having a home,
mm-hmm,
and understanding that dance is a part of our lives. If you can nod your head forward and back, you can dance. Mm-hmm. I really, truly believe that. And also, too, you know, going back to the program that will happen in about a week and a half,
right,
that Thursday night at 7 p.m., it is free of charge. And what that means is you're watching a rehearsal on stage with one of the best contemporary dance companies in the nation, listening to David Bowie music and actually watching what it takes to prepare for the show that you'll see the next night.
Oh, okay.
So it's called Backstage with Complexions Contemporary Ballet, 7 p.m. at the Playhouse, and it's free.
Whoa. Wow. Okay, so that's coming up. We're almost out of time, but website, how do people get tickets if they're wondering right now, you know, where can I get my tickets and can I get a ticket for everything?
Yes, LagunaDanceFestival.org. And that site will direct you to each event. And I do encourage everyone to purchase their tickets because we typically become sold out closer to the event. So
right,
do it now.
Don't wait till the last day.
Sunday's a good day. It's before noon, so you still have some time to purchase your tickets.
And so just real quickly, double down on the dates and then give us the website one more time just in case.
The first performance is October 5th, and that's with Complexions Contemporary Ballet honoring David Bowie. Second performance is October 6th, Saturday evening at 7:30, and then matinee on Sunday at 2 p.m. Those are both the Stars of Dance performance. You'll see stars from all across the nation and from Canada. Again, LagunaDanceFestival.org. And if you want to see a fun little rehearsal on stage on Thursday, October 4th, I'll see you there.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It has been so wonderful spending an hour with you.
And, likewise. Thank you so much.
I will see you at the dance festival.
I will see you there, and thank you again.
I'll be there with bells on. All right. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show. Coming up is a special edition of the Importance of Being show. So stay with us and here at KX93.5.
Where he wouldn't have a hassle with the human race. Sang you hip-hop? and don't stop, just blast off. Sure shot, cause the man from Mars stopped eating cars and eating bars, and now he only eats guitars. Yeah!